Today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our locked on rooms.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, welcome to Locked On Yankees. I'm your host, Stacey Gotsoulias, if you're watching me on YouTube. Hi, if you're not watching me on YouTube. Hi, anyway. Thanks for listening. Before we get into it, you can get this podcast on every podcasting platform available. Apple, Google, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. You can listen to us on your smart device. Just tell it to play Locked On Yankees. And you can watch us on YouTube. So, we have some things to talk about. I still have to talk about Gerrit Cole's outing from the other night. We're going to preview the series against Baltimore, which begins tonight, and everything seems to be okay at Yankee Stadium. It was slightly flooded after Ida. A lot of things were flooded after Ida. We'll talk about that briefly. We'll talk about people coming back. We'll talk about people with injuries and more. So let's start off with Gerrit Cole. We have to talk about this because I didn't get to do it yesterday. The Yankees needed that performance. Gerrit Cole needed that performance. Well, sort of. He's been doing pretty well since coming off the COVID IL. But it's nice for Gerrit Cole to have the kind of performance that he had the other night just to quiet the doubters who were still somehow doubting him after all the sticky stuff happened. And that was, we're 2 months out, almost 3 months out. So I don't know what people, I don't know why people expected Gerrit Cole to completely turn into a pumpkin, because he is one of the best pitchers in baseball for a reason, and it wasn't just because of substances, people. And we saw that the other night against the Angels. So the Yankees needed it. He needed it. The fans needed it. But really, the Yankees needed it. You can't end a West Coast road trip on a five-game losing streak and then have to head back across the country on a five-hour, six-hour flight, overnight usually, right? Or at least early in the morning. That's a bad trip home. You know, that just would not have been good. So the Yankees needed that. And it was a slightly, it wasn't an anxious game. They won 4-1. They were up 3-0 at one point. And the thing about Cole that I found slightly odd was when he gave up the one run, he seemed to divert from his game plan because he was shutting these guys down with gas. His four-seamer was working unbelievably. And then he kind of changed his game plan in that one inning and they ended up scoring the one run. And then he went back to what he was doing and he kept shutting them down. So I kind of wish someone would have asked him about that. Like, why would you do that? Everything was working so well for you. And not only that, Gerrit Cole made Shohei Ohtani look awful at the plate. It wasn't just that he was striking him out looking, because, you know, some guys look at fastballs. He was making him swing and look so un-Ohtani-like. Ohtani is going to win the MVP. There's no way around it. What he's doing this year has never been done before. He is just unbelievable. He's one of the best, if not the best player in baseball all around, talent-wise. No one else is doing what he's doing. And Gerrit Cole made him look silly in three consecutive at-bats. And you could tell Ohtani was frustrated. Now, historically, Ohtani doesn't do that well against Cole. Cole has his number, but he really had his number on Wednesday night. And that was kind of cool to see. So let's go through Cole's numbers again, because not only was it the fact that he lasted seven innings, which is great because Kluber couldn't even get past five and Tyone couldn't get past five. So having your starter go seven in a game you needed to win was a positive. He only gave up that one run on four hits in that iffy inning. And then no walks and 15 strikeouts. And it seemed as if he was going to come out after the sixth inning because his pitch count was kind of high. And it may have been a situation where they were going batter to batter with him in the seventh, but there was no need because he just shut everyone down. And he had 116 pitches overall. 78 of them were strikes. Yeah. Jonathan Loaisiga pitched an inning. Why can't I speak today? What is the matter with me? And Chapman got his 25th save. And it was not the kind that makes you want to hold on to your butt. It actually was okay. There were a couple of iffy pitches that were a little out of the strike zone. His control isn't quite there. His velocity was up, though, a little bit, which is good to see. It's always better to see Aroldis Chapman starting off an outing with pitches around 100 instead of pitches around, say, 95 or 96. So that was good to see from him. As for the Yankees, offensively on Wednesday, they were 2-for-6 with runners in scoring position. Once again, the top of the order got things done. LeMahieu had a hit. Rizzo had a hit. Judge had two. Judge had his 30th home run of the year. You think he's going to be in the MVP discussion? Maybe. Maybe finishing top five? Which is, you know, considering everyone was worried about him being injured. Let's not bring that up. Luke Voit had a double. And let's see. The one thing that is frustrating, though, Joey Gallo is kind of falling off a bit. It's not hurting the Yankees yet because they have other guys that can pick him up. But there was that discussion about Joey Gallo only hitting into three double plays. I can't remember the exact number, but he hit into a number of double plays when he was with the Rangers in 90 games. And he's had that many double plays since he's been with the Yankees. Actually, I think they might be up one more. And the Yankees double play thing reared its ugly head during that 4-game losing streak. And I believe they hit into one in the win on Wednesday night, but it didn't, you know, matter. It was okay. But yeah, Gallo needs to get things going a little bit. He is at 201 right now. And let's see. He doesn't have the lowest average. Kyle Higashioka does, but he doesn't play every day. He plays usually and only when either when Cole pitches or when Gary Sanchez catches the night before a day game and they want to give him a day off. So just need Gallo to pick things up. Just a little bit. You know, every once in a while, run into a home run. It's all the Yankees need. Again, even just having Rizzo and Gallo in the lineup to balance it out is good enough. I mean, it's a bonus if they contribute to the wins. But yeah, Gallo, I think, needs to pick things up just a little bit. Now, speaking of picking things up, no, I'm kidding. This, I can't pick up Built Bars. I could get them sent to my house, though. Did you know that Built Bar has many delicious flavors and that there's something for everyone? If you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're passionate about their favorites. And if you don't know the flavors, well, you're missing out. There's coconut, cherry Barcia, which is Jason Burke of Locked On A's favorite flavor, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite flavor is mint brownie. If you watch or listen to this podcast, you know that. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box. So you'll get two of each of the nine flavors, and then you can figure out what you like. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and they're good for you. They taste good. What else could you want? And Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, just do the mixed box. That's my best recommendation for you. Just try them all out, figure out what you like. And yeah, just order to your heart's content. Again, use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So tonight, the Yankees start a series with the Baltimore Orioles, and I'm saying it right now. They need to sweep. None of this 2 out of 3 nonsense. Sweep. You have to sweep the Orioles. They're horrible. There's no excuse. Seriously. So Nestor Cortez Jr. is going tonight against John Means. Means is 5-6 with a 3.46 ERA. And let's see. That's an 114 and one-third innings with 104 strikeouts. His last three outings, he faced Tampa Bay twice. He lost one of them, didn't get a decision in the other one. But that last start against Tampa on the 28th of August, He went 6 1/3, only gave up 2 earned runs on 5 hits with no walks and 5 strikeouts. So that's a pretty good performance against Tampa. He faced the Braves on the 22nd, pitched 6 innings, 3 runs on 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, and then got the loss in Tampa on the 17th, 4 innings, 4 runs on 8 hits, 7 strikeouts. So Yankees need to look out for that. He likes to strike people out sometimes, and the Yankees like to strike out. So we'll see. Nestor Cortez Jr. is 2-2 on the year, 2.77 ERA in 61 1/3 innings. He has 64 strikeouts. In his last outing, he went 5 1/3 against Oakland, gave up 3 runs on 4 hits, picked up the loss. He also walked 3, struck out 4. But his previous 2 starts to that were good against Minnesota and the White Sox. 7 innings, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. He got the win against Minnesota, got the win against the White Sox in 6 innings, 1 hit. No, 1 run, 7 hits, and 7 strikeouts. So he was a little off on the 28th, but that's to be expected. He's been Nestor Cortez Jr. is one of the MVPs of the Yankees this season. If they make it, if they stay where they are and make it into the playoffs and make it actually into the playoffs beyond the wild card game, Nestor Cortez Jr., Lucas Leckie are your 2 guys that you need to thank for that, because they're doing things this year that no one would have expected them to do. Now on Saturday, is that a day game? Yes, it is. 105. Okay, great. And that is Jordan Montgomery. It's Jordan Montgomery against Chris Ellis. Chris Ellis is 1-0 with a 3.09 ERA. That's an 11 2/3 innings with 12 strikeouts. Let's see. He pitched 4 2/3 innings against Toronto on the 30th, gave up a run in 2 hits with 2 strikeouts. So he's not really, he doesn't pitch long. Maybe he's an opener. I think he's an opener. No, I mean, you know, hey, we all teams have openers now. This is a thing. I mean, look at the Angels this past series. Now, Jordan Montgomery is 5-5 with a 3.52 ERA and 130 1/3 innings with 126 Ks. He had the issue of the Yankees not scoring for him again. That happened for a month earlier in the season when the Yankees were, you know, iffy. In his last outing against Oakland, 6 innings, no runs, 6 hits, 3 strikeouts. He was, that was a bad game for the Yankees offense, not for him. And that was his longest outing in his last 3, because he pitched 5 against Atlanta and 4 2/3 against Boston. And he is now this is his 4th start after coming back from the COVID IL. So we'll see how he does. This is Jordan Montgomery's comeback season. I know he was back last year, but he didn't pitch a lot coming back from Tommy John. So I consider this to be his Tommy John comeback season. Not a bad job. Again, the Yankees did not score for him for a month. So there are a few games in there that he probably should have won and didn't, because the offense was being held down by his opposing pitcher. And then on Sunday, Corey Kluber against Keegan Aiken. Keegan Aiken is 2-8 with a 6.90 ERA. That's in 75 2/3 innings with 68 strikeouts. His last start, he got the win against Toronto. He pitched 5 innings, gave up 1 run on 2 hits with 3 walks and 5 strikeouts. He also did well against the Angels on August 26th. 7 innings, 1 run on 3 hits with 2 walks and 6 strikeouts. How does he have such a high? Oh, okay. He's done better in his last 7 games. In his last 15 games, he has a 7.42 ERA. In his last 7, he has a 4.61 ERA. So he's doing a little better. He's improving. That makes sense. Kluber, as you know, he pitched against the Angels the other night, gave up that grand slam. He was kind of cruising a bit, and then that inning happened. And, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? So he's 4-3 overall with a 3.61 ERA in 57 1/3 innings with 61 strikeouts. I mean, I can read, but right now I can't. So yeah, that last outing, 4 innings, 5 runs on 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. 6 strikeouts in 4 innings is great. five runs in four innings is not great. And again, four of those runs came off one hit. So he needs to improve from that. Hopefully he will against the Orioles. And hopefully by the time Kluber pitches on Sunday, they will be looking for a sweep. Hopefully. What else is going on? Oh, big news next week. Derek Jeter, Hall of Fame. Finally. Because of COVID, things were delayed. Now, apparently, even though the Hall of Fame induction ceremony is next Wednesday, he is not done with his speech. And I know a lot of people are joking about the fact that Jeter's boring and the speech will be boring and don't expect it to be anything special. But, you know, I'm going to give Jeter the benefit of the doubt. Jeter is, he's a smartass. And I expect him to be a sort of a smartass in his, I'm hoping he'll be a smartass in his Hall of Fame induction speech. So hopefully it won't be boring. I don't know. I don't think it will be. I mean, do you remember the last night at Yankee Stadium when he gave that speech and it was off the cuff and it was pretty good for someone doing an off the cuff speech? There weren't many ums and ahs. He really, I think he thought about it before the game. It wasn't completely off the cuff because it was a little too good for someone who's not trained in public speaking to make a speech like that in front of 50,000 people, you know? So maybe he will have a good speech. That would be nice. I would like for that to happen for Derek Jeter and maybe prove people wrong. But Derek Jeter has always proved people wrong. Do you remember when he was about to have his 3,000th hit and people were joking, oh, he's going to hit, you know, a ground ball that bounces 38 times and he hit a home run into the left field bleachers? I mean, David Price didn't do himself any favors by throwing that cookie of a pitch, but yeah, Derek Jeter has proved people wrong his entire career and his entire life, so he might do it again. Is my computer working? Yes, it is. Hey, guess what? It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest 200,000 NFL survivor contest. Open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. This is for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. Use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about an easy way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So, I don't know about you, but yeah, it is kind of annoying to have so many different devices to have to watch things. And although I will say I don't have anyone else's login, I have my own logins and I don't think I share my logins with anyone. That always worries me. Does that worry you guys? That would worry me. Anyway, last night the Red Sox and the Rays played and the Red Sox kind of helped the Yankees out a little bit there, but the Yankees need to take care of business because right now the Red Sox have the same number of wins as the Yankees, but three more losses. So the Yankees are 6.5 behind Tampa. The Red Sox are 8 behind Tampa. Tampa's 84-50 right now. The Yankees are 77-56. This is why this series against Baltimore is important for the Yankees. They need to take care of business, beat the team they're supposed to beat. Right now, let's look at Baltimore's numbers, okay? So this will show you why the Yankees can't lose any games to the Orioles, okay? None of this 2 out of 3 nonsense like the last series they played. Baltimore is 41-91. They're 42 games behind Tampa. They're 3-7 in their last 10. Their run differential is minus 234. That is horrifically bad. And just for a contrast here, we're going to look at the best team in baseball right now. Well, there are two. The Dodgers are tied with the Giants right now. They're both at 85-49. The Dodgers are at a plus 213 run differential. And Baltimore's at minus 234. So again, there's no excuse for the Yankees to lose any of these games. I don't want to see any excuses from them. I'm sorry. No, we're done. We're in September. You need to take care of business. Win every game, every winnable game against horrible teams. Baltimore is horrible. They're an absolutely awful team. There's no excuse. I don't want to be here on Monday reporting a 2 out of 3 series win, or God forbid, a 2 out of 3 series loss. It needs to be a sweep by the Yankees. But let's look at other numbers here, because I find this interesting. Toronto is at 70-62. They're 13 behind Tampa. And it's kind of funny when you look at the division standings and they have the last 10. Every team in the AL East, except for Baltimore, has a pretty good record in their last 10. Tampa's 8-2. The Yankees, Red Sox, and Toronto are all 6-4. And the poor Orioles are 3-7. Now, in the wild card, the Yankees are 1.5 over Boston, 2 over Oakland, 4 over Seattle, 5 over Toronto. Seattle is kind of making a run there a bit. And Toronto has not played as many games as Seattle. Seattle is 72-62. Toronto is 70-62. But out of all those teams, New York, Boston, Seattle, and Toronto are all 6-4 in their last 10, while Oakland is 4-6. But Oakland's on a 1-game winning streak. Boston's on a 2. Seattle's on a 2. And Toronto's on a 1. And you know who's coming up here in the rear? Sort of. Cleveland. They're 67-64, so they're hovering around 500. They're 7.5 back, but they're 7-3 in their last 10, and they've won 4 in a row. So the wild card standings have a chance to be chaotic this last month of the season. But like I said, Yankees need to take care of business, beat Baltimore. And let me just see if Baltimore is now the worst team. Yep, they're the worst team in the majors. Do you remember how horrible Arizona was? Yeah. Arizona's 45-90. Now they're 40.5 games behind LA and the Giants, which isn't shocking because they're doing so well. But let's see. Wait, hold on. I just want to make sure I got this right. Yeah, Baltimore is the furthest behind their division leader with 42 back. In the Central, Minnesota is last. Ooh, they're behind. I didn't realize they were behind Kansas City. They're 19.5 behind the White Sox. Texas is 31 behind Houston. The Marlins are 16.5 behind Atlanta. Pittsburgh is 33.5 behind Milwaukee. Yeah, the bad teams are bad. They're bad for a reason. I just didn't realize that the Twins were behind the Royals. I knew the Twins weren't doing well this year, obviously, and the Yankees beat up on them a bit, but yeah, I didn't realize that. Wow. Although Kansas City is on a 4-game losing streak right now, so they have a chance to fall behind Minnesota. But wow, Minnesota has fallen off the past, you know, they were a playoff team a couple years ago, weren't they? So yeah, that's kind of strange. So let's look at, sorry, I'm looking at my phone because I have to look at myself on my screen if you're watching me on YouTube, and I can't have too many things up because it'll distract me. I know. I'm learning how to do this, by the way. Let's just look at the Yankees schedule for right now, because after Baltimore, they play Toronto for 4 at home. I'm not expecting a sweep. Definitely not. Not against Toronto. That offense is scary, even if the bullpen is not that great. And they have Robbie Ray and they have other pitchers that can, you know, Berrios. So I'm not expecting a sweep there. I would love a 3 out of 4. But if they can't get a 3 out of 4, a split would be okay. But I would really prefer a 3 out of 4. They play the Mets for 3 next weekend in Citi Field. They play one game at home against Minnesota, the makeup for the rainout, and then they're in Baltimore for 3. So after being in Baltimore for 3, they'll be home against Cleveland for 3, home for Texas against 3. I just spoke about Cleveland and Texas. Cleveland is doing a little better lately, but Texas is awful. Okay. So Baltimore and Texas, those 6 games, the Yankees cannot do worse than 5 out of 6 against those 2 teams. They really cannot. Cleveland is kind of up in the air. There's a chance that the Yankees can do really well against them, but I'm not going to expect them to do better against Cleveland than they would against Baltimore and Texas. But the Baltimore-Texas games, the Yankees need to win 5 out of 6 there. Then they face Boston in Boston, the 24th, 25th, and 26th. They're off the 27th. They face Toronto in Toronto, so the Yankees will be up in Canada for the first time in like 2 years. And then that final series that I keep talking about against Tampa, that if the Yankees do what they're supposed to do this month and beat up on the teams that they're supposed to beat up on, and maybe Tampa falls back just slightly, that last series could actually mean something. You never know. So to recap, Gerrit Cole is the man. He's the man that the Yankees, this is what the Yankees got him for. They got him for performances like Wednesday night, striking out 15, not walking anyone, making Shohei Ohtani walk off in shame from home plate. He literally embarrassed him. It was quite fun. Yankees face Baltimore for 3 this weekend. I will not accept anything less than a sweep. So if anyone from the Yankees is watching this, I doubt it. But if anyone who works for the Yankees is watching this, relay that message to the team for me. Thank you. I would really appreciate it. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Betting on the Yankees doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. If you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Also, subscribe and like us on YouTube. So enjoy your weekend, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.